with the fourth pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the Minnesota Vikings select Matt Khalil.
Hey, Buffalo Wild Wings at Mall of America, welcome to the Friday Football Feast. It's good to see everybody here. Friday Football Feast on in April. Come out and join us, Floor 3, Mall of America, with some surprises and festivities today. Paul Charchi and LeagueSafe.com. I'm Paul Allen, a day after round one of the National Football League draft, where the Minnesota Vikings secured Matt Khalil, left tackle from USC, and then traded into the first round at the end of the first round and selected Harrison Smith, a hard-hitting safety from Notre Dame. The man who paved the way for the trade and executed the draft picks joins us now via the phone lines. Buffalo Wild Wings Mall of America, a round of applause for our general manager, Rick Spielman, joining us now. Good morning, Mr. Spielman.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
How was the adrenaline rush yesterday, up to the draft, during the draft, up to Harrison Smith, and how do you go to sleep after a day like that?
It was kind of hard to sleep last night because I know we were excited to get the two players we were able to get. I know that's going to help build the foundation of this football team going forward.
Did you call a general manager at like two? Did you call a general manager at like 2 a.m. and say, hey, let's start working on 58.
You know, right now, doing that trade with Cleveland you go back and you strategize as you go through this draft and knowing that you can still get Khalil and pick up some extra picks. And by doing that, we were able to move back into the first round to get a Harrison Smith. And as you lay out your draft board, knowing the depth that was behind Harrison Smith as far as how many viable safeties were left, and our familiarity with him, working with him down at the Senior Bowl, we felt we did a good job trying to get back up there to make sure we secured that to help our secondary.
Yes, sir.
Rick, a couple of things on Harrison Smith that I want to ask you about. Number one, if you didn't make that trade with Cleveland, you didn't have that extra fourth rounder, do you still think you would have pulled off that trade? Did you need to have that extra ammo that the Cleveland trade gave you?
Well, knowing that you have that extra ammo because we still have picks in the fourth round, we have picks in the fifth, the sixth, and still 3 7. So we're still going to get a lot of good players, a lot of players that will come in and help the depth on this ball club and hopefully get a few surprises in there. So just having that extra pick and to have that ability to move up and back. And don't be surprised in the with our third-round pick if we potentially do move back in a second, if there's a player there that we covet, or if we feel that there is enough depth as they're coming up to our pick in the third round that we move back a little bit to accumulate more picks.
When you made the trade up, my very first reaction was, well, were there teams that needed safeties that may have selected a safety before you would have come naturally with your at 35? But look at all the trades, 19 first-round trades. Anybody could have traded ahead of you and gotten Harrison Smith. You know, teams wouldn't necessarily have stood pat. So if he's your guy, you got to go be aggressive and get him. In a day with all of that trading, it's dangerous to wait, right?
Yesterday was very exciting in all the trades that occurred, especially in that first round. And what you've seen was if a team coveted a player or really wanted to go up and get that player, because of the new CBA and because there's not all that financial commitment, it makes it for a very exciting day. I think not only as you sit here and build your ball club, but it makes it exciting TV for the fans. It makes it exciting for the media, and that's what the draft should be about.
Rick, when did you start working on the trade with Cleveland? At what point of the day yesterday?
As we were getting down, we were watching the draft unfold, and we had some potential hot spots where we felt teams may be interested in him. So I would say about the last 10 picks in that first round, we had made calls to all those teams and try to gauge interest if they'd be willing to move back or not.
No, I mean for flipping 3 and 4. When you worked with Cleveland to go from 3 to 4, that was consummated before the draft, I believe. When do you start working on that?
That's on Monday. I started receiving some calls on Monday from a couple of teams. Cleveland was one of those teams, and I told them that we'd probably wait till Thursday just to see how everything unfolded. And about 2 hours before the draft kicked off is when we started to talk, and we finalized that deal about an hour before the draft.
Tell us about Harrison Smith and the importance of having a safety with his skill set in the NFL with all these nice tight ends.
Harrison is a big safety. He can play free and strong. He's extremely bright. The one thing that we're trying to build is in that middle of your roster, from the quarterback to the center to the linebacker to the safety, not only do they have to be very good football players, but they have to be extremely intelligent because they're controlling the checks and the adjustments. And we feel with Christian and John Sullivan and Chad Greenway and now Harrison Smith coming in, not only are they very good football players that are going to help us win ball games, but they're extremely smart and bright, which goes a long way.
Minnesota Vikings General Manager Rick Spielman on the Home for Vikings Football, the Fan. This is the Friday Football Feast at Buffalo Wild Wings Mall of America. We will be here until noon today. We believe fourth overall selection Matt Khalil eventually will join us on site. Charge.
Rick, I just want to go back to the trade from 3 to 4 one more time. The only reason that Cleveland would make this deal, knowing the Vikings were highly unlikely not to take a running back, was because there had to be another team that was interested in the Vikings slot, correct? I mean, there had to be some other reason for them to move up if they wanted Trent Richardson. So I guess what I'm asking is, at some point you had to have told Cleveland, we're going to make another deal if you don't make a deal.
We had some other offers on the table, and I think the deal just ended up being a great trade for us, but also a great trade for Cleveland. They got the back, and I think that back's going to be an outstanding player in this league. It's going to help Cleveland, and they got a player that they needed and coveted, and we were able to pick up some picks and get a player that we really wanted and coveted.
Rick, as the singular voice for this team, as a true general manager, what was different about the process through the combine, the Senior Bowl and the combine in the pro days, and the walk-up to the draft? What was the difference as the general manager compared to the vice president and player personnel?
Just the process now. We do the same things as far as the preparation, do the same things as far as going through scenarios, as far as how we get prepared for the draft with all the steps that we take. But I think now the difference is there's one person in charge in that room. So I still listen to a lot of feedback from my scouts, from Scott Studwell, from George Payton, from Coach Frazier. But when things are happening, and the way things happened yesterday, it's a lot smoother now that one person has the ability to go ahead and do what he thinks is best for the organization.
You know, Rick, you just touched on something that I think is a nuance that a lot of fans don't necessarily think about. You've got a college scouting staff that busts their butts for a year for this day, and if they don't feel like they're part of the process, it can be really deflating for those guys that have been working all this time to feed you all this great information, and if they feel left out, you know, there could be guys that really just get unmotivated.
I have a great staff. I have a great lieutenants in George Payton and Scott Studwell. And if they don't do their jobs, I can't do my job. And I rely on those guys, and they all know that they're a part of this process. And it's not just a pick for me. It's a pick because of everybody's work in there and all the work that's put in. And you know, in 2 weeks from now, we'll be down in Florida for draft meetings for next year. So we'll get started in a couple weeks getting prepared for the next draft.
What's the art of executing a trade like, Rick? I mean, you've executed a lot of trades during your run here with the Vikings, either as general manager or VP of player personnel. What's the process like? Who determines who starts the conversations? What's the level of anxiety when you hit a snag? What's that process like?
That's the exciting part because it's the wheeling and dealing, and that's what makes this job so much fun. And sometimes you'll come away and you'll walk away and nothing happens, and that happens a lot of time. It happened yesterday a few times. But when you find a partner or someone that's just as motivated as you are to consummate a deal, you know, that can go back and forth and back and forth, and all of a sudden you agree upon something. And a lot of times those deals get done when it's the 11th hour. You know, it got done right before the draft, and we talked about it on Monday. The trade with Baltimore didn't happen until Baltimore was on the clock. We talked to them about 8 picks before Baltimore came up. So you kind of build that up, and then when it's time to make the trade, you either do it or you walk away.
You know, we hear the name Scott Studwell a lot. Of course, we hear your name a lot. But you have a man on your staff who's kind of your right-hand man in George Payton, who legitimately had a big-time chance to become the general manager of the St. Louis Rams. And, you know, through whatever happened, he opted to stay here and was elevated here. What's his role in all of this process, and how important is George Payton to this equation?
With the new responsibilities of not only handling the personnel but overseeing everything else in the football operations, when you have a guy like a George Payton who can handle things on the pro side, who will aid on the side of college, George and Rob Brzezinski, what Rob Brzezinski does with the cap is just unbelievable. So we have a very, very talented group of people up here that are extremely gifted at their job. It makes my job a lot easier.
Speaking of your job, Rick, I literally think you executed a virtually perfect first round, and I want to congratulate you on that. The trade back got you extra picks. You used those picks to move up and get a position of desperate need at safety. Do you believe that that Harrison Smith was sort of the only guy in his tier of ability, guys that maybe could step in at the safety position and be a starter at for the season opener that were left on the board at this point?
Yeah, we felt very strongly that there was a drop-off after Harrison. We only had two safeties that we thought had the ability to potentially come in and start at their rookie year and be able to do the things that need to be done on the field, and it was Mark Barron and Harrison Smith. Then after that, it was a drop-off. In fact, the safety class was so weak this year, as we were looking down into the third day on Saturday, we had actually taken four corners and converted them to safety, something similar to what we did with Mr. Raymond last year.
But conversely, the wide receiver and cornerback depth, from what I understand, in this draft, specifically with players who can return kicks, very rich, very bountiful, obviously without sharing company secrets. Is that an immediate focus with the picks that are coming in front of us now?
I think, you know, you'd like to fill, potentially get another corner and potentially fill a receiver and maybe, you know, get another returner to come in. But where we've had our most success in that third day is just staying true to our board, taking best players available, because we do need some depth on the defensive line. We do need some depth at linebacker. So those are the things that when you come off, and if you have people may be thinking, you need this receiver, why don't you take him here or this corner here? If there's a player that is rated higher in our board as potential as a linebacker or a potential defensive lineman, that's when you make mistakes. That's why, you know, I really believe you stay true to your board and take the best player available, because eventually that's going to pay off for you.
Last one for the general manager. So now you have rounds 2 and 3 and then 4 through 7 tomorrow. After that, Rick, what's the importance of analyzing free agency and, you know, looking at some free agents that you maybe have kicked the tires on a little bit, but you wanted to draft first? But say you're looking for position A and you can't be comfortable with it through the draft, do you then look at free agency and try to fill that?
Yeah, we've been very successful in college free agency. I think last year we had 10 players on our roster that were college free agents that have come in and helped us win ball games. That process after the draft is probably the craziest process of the whole weekend, because you're recruiting on a phone. Your coaches and your scouts negotiating with an agent, your coaches trying to recruit the player. They're talking to 3 or 4 other teams. So we've been very aggressive. We have a strategic game plan that we put in place before it goes off. We've done a lot of prep work on that even before the draft started. In fact, some of our top 30 guys that have come in and visited before the draft are guys that we coveted as potential late round or free agent type players. So you kind of build that relationship up with some of those players, and hopefully that'll pay off in the end.
And Rick, isn't that part of the beauty of getting an extra 7th-round pick like you did in day one? Because those 7th-round picks basically let you pick whoever you want out of the undrafted free agent market.
Yeah. Right. You know, the roster has moved up to 90, and right now, you know, we have 12 picks. We may end up with more by the end of the day. But having 3 7th-rounders, those are the guys that you can take where you know they're the best on your board, and you don't have to go haggle with after the draft. And so those are some definitely some key positions for us to take.
Well, you obviously have your eyes set on something at 66. Maybe it's a trade, but hopefully you have quick returns at 66. Somebody you don't have to kick down the streeter. And you know what? I'm going to break right now and go have myself a Reuben sandwich. Thank you very much, Rick.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.